Dear Sangha, today is Sunday, the 19th of February, 2012. We are at the Stillwater Meditation Hall in Upper Hamlet during our winter retreat. It is the last Dhamma talk of our winter retreat, 2011-2012. And at 11 a.m., we make the practice to Dharavana ceremony, and that is a joyful day. You are monastic. You have the advantage to be able to stay 3 months without doing anything, just practicing. And that tradition has been set up since 2,600 years ago. And Ompan Korisan, with the time of the Buddha, now we have more advantage. During the time of the Buddha, only monastic practice a 3-month retreat. But now the lay people also can practice 3-month retreat together with us. That is a progress. Also, we must know that there are those who don't come here, but we also, thanks to technology, they can practice 3 months at their home. And they also practice sitting meditation and do everything, but also listen online what I talk, I teach, and then they practice at home. Also try to keep their own schedule, so on. And every year, when we can come together and live 3 months together, this is a great happiness. We don't know if next year we can have such gathering, because everything is impermanent. In all time, in the past, the Buddha also practice three-month retreat every year, because at that time there is no internet yet, and so the number of those who participate at the teaching of Buddha is very limited, very few. And during the last 20 years of his life, he practiced at Shravasti, at Anathapindika Monastery. Yeah. And then sometime he gave 1 more month of retreat in the case where there is many big brother and sister who practice in other center and they try to help. And then they come, they know that the Buddha is there. In the past, there is no email, no telephone. And so they don't know where our teacher is, because when they grown up, they have to go and share the practice. And so the last 20 years of his life, the Buddha always stay at Anathapindika Monastery. And he promised that he will stay 1 month more in that monastery, so that those who want to visit him. And so after 3 month retreat in many other center, led by many big brother and sister, and then they have a chance to, after 3 month retreat, they walk to the monastery where the Buddha reside in order to pay respect to the Buddha and spend 1 month more with them. And so in Shravasti, he always stay 4 months instead of 3 months. Yeah. If I am still in good health, and so we maybe next year we'll have 1 more month for after winter retreat, 1 more month for people. Many brothers and sisters can come and visit me. And then we said that no, we cannot go anywhere. Even people invite us for a very important event. We said that no, we need, because we already served 9 months already. And so we need to have some rest to restore ourselves to. The other day, there is a number sister who came. I've seen that the brother are playing volleyball and so joyful. We also have the joy during our sports. Playing sport is also a way to build brotherhood and sisterhood. And in sport, when in the worldly, in the world, if they play sport, it's for in order to gain and to fight and to acquire something. But here, we play sport for building brotherhood. And sometimes, one side follow another side, and they are fighting each other. Each side fighting each other, and sometimes there's thousands of people who are wounded because of the fight. That is not really what we play here. We play here in sport for building brotherhood. We also build our brotherhood when we play sport, but we also build brotherhood. We go to sitting meditation, and they go in a group and sit together, and they try to be present to each other. And when we come to a Dhamma talk, coming to the Dhamma talk is so joyful. And listen to the teaching of the Buddha, the sharing of Thai, and then we gather for walking meditation is also very joyful. So this practice is very joyful. And this practice brings joy to every minute of practice. But if you feel that during the walking meditation, sitting meditation, eating in mindfulness, you feel so tired, you don't see the value of the practice. Because if you really practice, it always brings joy. When we do walking meditation, every step, we touch mindfully, you stop thinking, you are not dispersed, you look deep and you see the value of that practice and the joy, the peace of that practice, you are so happy. And that is acquired by yourself. No one teach you. But if you really practice stopping, every step is stopping, is being peace, is looking deeply. And then is every step is enjoy, is celebrating life. Each step is for celebrating life. You must do it. And if you do sitting meditation, you feel so painful and so unhappy. So that is something wrong in the practice. You have to try to find a way. If you cannot, you have to ask another brother and sister to share. And so the practice is not a dream. That is everybody acquire every day. And why you practice eating mindfully, doing mindfully, you build brotherhood, sisterhood. So we go to Plum Village. It's not because you are exile, but because you are arriving to a mountain of treasure. If you have a bag, you can put all the treasure in the bag, and full mini bag. But it's so large, a lot, so you don't need to pick up. Because every breath is a joy and happiness. Every step you stop, you enjoy peacefully, happily, and you are happy. And then you come here, you do all the work in happiness. And that is for being happy. but don't think that, oh, here I have to do sitting meditation, walking meditation in a very painful way. That is not the way. Every step, every breath should be, is like becoming a jewel. And the jewel is not in your pocket, but in your heart. From your residential place to the meditation hall, you have many 300 steps. Every step is joy, is a jewel. And you have to walk in a way that you really enjoy every step. You enjoy everything. That is real Kung Fu. Kung Fu in the West, people thought that Kung Fu is for martial arts. But Kung Fu is the practice, the regular daily practice. So many monasteries, they know Yi Tai Kung Fu, means two-time practice. Two sessions of practice daily. So you have to go to medical school, you have to Kung Fu. You go to be an engineer school, you have to Kung Fu. So monastery, you Kung Fu, it means you practice. And then the time for sitting meditation, you train yourself. Now I don't feel happy when I sit. Now I have to really train to be happy when I sit. I'm not very happy when I walk. Now I train to stop, to look deep and really enjoy when I walk. That is Kung Fu. And you have some things, every step, every breath, every smile, every session of sitting or walking, you have to really find joy in the practice. If you don't feel happiness, if you don't feel happy when you do walking meditation, walking meditation, sitting meditation, Dhamma talk, that's because you don't know the way. I know that you have to practice, you have to Kung Fu. You have to Kung Fu in order to really enjoy the Dhamma talk, enjoy the walking meditation, the sitting, the eating, everything. You have to really train yourself to touch the joy, that happiness when you practice. In the past, there is a Zen master of the name Chen Kong Fasu. But it's not Sister Chen Kong. And he also have a maker school in a mountain of compassion, of loving kindness. He practiced in the mountain of loving kindness. There's one day some people asked him, practice is what? He answered, You arrive to this cave of all these wonderful angels. You have to change. Yes, he's trying to explain. So, immortal. When you arrive to that immortal domain. When you arrive to this immortal domain, you have to train yourself in order to become immortal like them. So if you come to this cave, this domain of immortals, you are determined to find a way to practice so that you completely change your skin, your flesh and your bones in order to go home. You only go home when you change your bone, your flesh, your skin, because, and then you become immortal like them. And we human, we are mortals, but they are immortals. So you only need to change, to use a kind of medicine that change your bones, your flesh, your skin before you go home. And in order to be really immortal. And if you really practice, never the brother asks you to leave. If you really practice, people will not force you to leave. And if you come with all your being to practice, and people would request you to stay, beg you to stay, if you really practice and you really enjoy and you really practice in order to really change your bones and your flesh, your skin before you go home, it means or you make the situation immortal. And Chang Khong Fasu, true emptiness, Zen master said that sentence, uttered that two sentences. When you arrive to that domain of immortals, don't leave it. Have to practice in the way that you change the bones of mortal people in order to become immortal people. Lindang is the holy medicine you use, to holy medicine in order to change your bones and to become really immortal. So true emptiness, Zen master live in the century of 11th. He passed away at the year 1100. At the early, yeah, but it's not down. Thầy said that Thầy passed away on the early of 12th century. Yeah, and he said, coming to that domain, profound domain of immortals, you decide to change the bones in order to immortal. But so we arrive here, we don't want to go home. You stay there for good. Because you arrive to an immortal place, why you have to go home? So our duty, our happiness is to be able to practice together as friends, like sisters, like brothers. 1 year, 3 year, 5 year on our life, every day of practice, you produce a lot of happiness, a lot of friendship, a lot of brotherhood, sisterhood. So, everyone, of course, have difficulties and satisfaction, happiness and difficulties, but we try to heal our difficulties, our suffering, the way the people used to pull it out, the way people pull out your suffering and heal it. Make a surgery right away. And it could be in deep in your store consciousness. And silently they try to condition you. They condition you silently. You didn't know, but you think negatively, you act negatively because it's deep inside. They try to the suffering. And the Western way of healing is to put your hand very deep, pull out your suffering, and you are my suffering. I vomit you. I vomit you. I destroy you in order to be healed. That is the Western way, and many the worldly way, not Western. Our suffering is your enemies, is a bottle full of poison, and you have to take it out and vomit it out in order to be healed. Like you have some wound, you need surgery, you pull it out on the dirt. And that is the worldly way to heal your suffering. some time, you can practice differently. You leave it, let them sleep there, and you lullaby them. You lullaby them, and you... Sometimes it manifests. Sometimes it manifests in action, in feelings, and you are overwhelmed. But when they don't manifest, they sleep in form of sleeping seeds. And seed is what exists, but you don't see it because the seed do not manifest. They are in the potential of manifesting, but not yet. And so why you have to pull them out? We can lullaby them. And you bury them with so many good things. And you water more, you put many, many seeds of wonderful, beautiful things of life. And then you discover all the wonders in your body, and many wonders in your mind, in your environment, in your situation of family, of society. And so you pay attention to all the wonderful things, the positive thing, the good, the fortunate condition of you to have that, to have that, to have that, and don't touch at your suffering. Like you don't heal. But because when this one is strong and the other one is weak, because everything is impermanent, including our suffering. So our suffering is a seed, but it's not immobile seed, but a seed of changing seed. So many joy, many positive things that we can look deep, we appreciate, we enjoy, and it's influence our sleeping seed of suffering. And when Thay left Vietnam 40 years ago, and then he missed his country a lot, his homeland a lot, his friend, his sangha, his teacher, his friends a lot, and not only his friend, but the language is different, the tree are different, the fruit are different, the food are different, and then you. It was really painful for him because he chose to be painful in order to call for peace for Vietnam. So he have to accept, he have to train himself to accept this very new environment. He play with German children, he play with French children, American children, appreciate the minister of this congregation, appreciate this Christian priest, Catholic priest, and then enjoy the food here, try to appreciate bread instead of rice and many other things. And then if you only long for, oh, when I can come back to Vietnam, or when I will... Yes, so I was exiled for 40 years. 40 years to wait is too long. So my practice is to be learn to appreciate the new thing. Yeah. This new thing for me is not very joyful, but I learn to look deep in order to see the value and really enjoy the value of each thing. And then I see that I'm at home. Slowly, I feel at home wherever I go. The first year I left Vietnam, every night I dreamt to be back to Vietnam. But the most difficult dream is, and he came to a very beautiful green hill. And he was climbing with the joys up there. He can see all his good friendhood, everything lovely, everything dear to him. And he in the dream he saw that he climbed on that hill, but usually at half of the hill he woke up. He woke up at half of the hill. He never arrived to that top of the hill where he feel that everything would be wonderful there. And that is the kinds of language to let him know that he missed Vietnam so much. He missed his Sangha, he missed his friend, he missed everything there. It's too much. But that dream come back. Several times he saw that he come back to his patriarchal temple, and every time he came back, he always see his master sitting there, smiling. In fact, his master passed away long. When he, in that dream, his master already passed away, but he felt that his master is always there. And, but thanks to that practice, I try to appreciate everything, and slowly I do not have that dream. And I see that this planet is my homeland. Everywhere I go, I feel that here is my homeland. So the practice to live in the present moment. Germany is my homeland. France is my homeland. United States is my homeland. Australia is my homeland. Everywhere I go is my homeland. So I do not pull the suffering and throw it away. No. I can lullaby them. But when the suffering come up, and you just smile to them and you say that, okay, go to sleep, my little feeling, my little sadness. And then, and I practice the positive thing and for why. So those who are psychotherapists, you have to look deeply in order to heal people. You do not heal by pulling the suffering out and analyze, but this different way. There is other way that you lullaby, and then you tell us, your client, what is joyful in your life, what is positive, what is fortunate, what is, so here too, you enjoy sitting meditation, you enjoy walking meditation, you enjoy working meditation, eating and everything, here, living in the Sangha, you have a chance to walk together with the Sangha, twice collectively, and collectively in sitting, and every step you must train yourself to feel on the beauty of the present moment in order like you are stepping on the pure land. And here nobody forbid you to walk happily, nobody forbid you to sit happily, to eat joyfully. And this morning I sit with my, I am sharing my breakfast with my two attendants, but I feel that every mouthful is a legendary action. I enjoy that I live with my two attendants in a very profound way. I enjoy my breakfast. A piece of bread I eat, a piece of tofu I chew, and that is my practice. Because if you only go to do sitting meditation rigidly and follow the breath and then go out, it's no sitting, no practice. It's not the way. And so we are 400 person. If we can live 3 months relaxingly, enjoy sitting, enjoy walking, enjoy working, enjoy eating, enjoy playing sport, and thanks to the Buddha that we have 3 months of retreat. So 3 months is a lot of time. If you don't enjoy, maybe next year we have no chance to do it. Some condition may happen, even you plan for next year, but next year something may happen that you cannot enjoy. So if next year things can happen and you can come back to enjoy, it's a great joy to be together with the big Sangha and practice together. In the past, there is a young practitioner, a lady, young lady practitioner, told me. It's about 10 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago. She asked me, "Dear Thay, you are almost 80 years old, 10 years ago, almost. Do you have any dream? You dream to realize something before you pass away? Before you pass away, what make you most satisfying? Most satisfied?" And she asked me like that. "What the most wonderful thing you want to realize before you die?" And I said, "Sir, I think that I have no dream at all. I do not desire anything. People say that life of a person, you need to have a dream. But when she asked me that question, I tried to find, but I couldn't find any dream. In other words, what I dream is already exists now and here. In fact, when I was a young monk, I have a dream. A dream that how I can build a sangha of monastic and lay who can practice together, who love each other, who support each other to practice together in brotherhood. And that dream lasts in me very long. Especially a monastic sangha who can live together happily. And in 1964, I have the, no, Namuibong, 54, I have that occasion to do that. At that moment, 56, the Vietnam country have been divided in two parts. One is communist, one is anti-communist, nationalistic. And so there is a crisis, a spiritual crisis in the country, especially the young people. They don't know what shall they go. The country is divided in two, and then one strongly choose communism, don't believe on religion, and the other side and believe on religions. Capitalist, based on the support of the West, especially United States. And Vietnam is a kind of an opposite situation in the world, like the place for the opposition of two big blocs in the world, the communist world and the free world. Capitalism way, believe on religion and so on. So one side, communist is China, Russia, and the other side is United States and Europe, quite a part of Europe. And at that moment, the young people don't know where to go. And at least we have to accept, we have to find our way. And during the war in Vietnam, there is a lot of suffering. And there's about 6 million of people have died during that moment. And it's the war where brother kill brothers, and they use a kind of idealism import from foreign country. One side is ideal of Marxist and Lenin and Marx, and the other one is personality of Christianity, and then they not only they use the kind of idealism to fight each other, but they also use weapons. The weapons, and the weapons import from the China and Russia and Eastern Europe, and then weapons import from United States and Europe. And young people in Vietnam have to use the foreign idealism to and the foreign weapons to kill each other. That is a big tragedy of Vietnam. But at that moment when I grew up, there is no other choice. But then, why we have to accept that war where we use the foreign ideology in order to kill each other? Why we have to use foreign ideology and foreign weapons to kill each other? And so among Vietnamese, there are young people who believe that we must use other way, among them me. And so I feel that 60 years ago, and I think that there is the third way. The third way is a way where you transcend the both sides and you embrace both sides. And that way is a non-dualistic way. We embrace both sides. We do not feel that each side is enemies to others. I remember that at that moment, the mind of young people are very lost. They don't know about 1 million of people from North Vietnam emigrate to South, and maybe 100,000 from the South emigrate to North because they have chosen communism or they are choosing free world. And at that moment, there is a journalist, an editor. His name is Vu Ngoc Cac. He is also, he has some means, financial means, to set up a daily called Dân Chủ Daily. And he came to the An Quang Temple where I live. I reside at that moment. An Quang is very simple. I am one among those who built up An Quang Temple together with Thầy Tri Hữu, Tri Hữu, and we set up together the first course for monastic in An Quang Monastery. And so the journalist came, editor, and he said that, could you please write to me a series of article on our daily in order to lead Vietnam out of that situation of contradictory tradition where to kill each other, to use foreign. And I know that Buddhism, the Buddha, have the way. And so he was request, and I wrote 10 articles in follow 10 days, editorial article. And first page, at the first page of the dailies, 10 article, and the title of each article he put in big character in red on the dailies, because people are so lost. And they search for something in order to go out of that situation. So we have to use the mind of love, the mind of no hate, reconciliation, the mind of brotherhood. And so I wrote that article, and then there is start a young movement of people who. A movement of young people who work for stopping the war in Vietnam and try to reconcile. And they know that the path is not the path of killing each other, but the path of reconciliation. And there is a poet, like the name is Tovo, and he's there with Phat Phoai, two poets live in Yak Wing Temple. It was the year 1949. Many of you are not born yet. At that moment, I just published my first poetry, booklet, The Flute on the Autumn, during autumn. It's been about the decision of the Buddha to become, to leave the family and search for the path. And then Tovo, the poet, read that poem. And then he was very impressed. He loved, he knew, and then he tried to find the author. And he came to the editor to ask, and then finally he found Tang Quang Temple. And he found me. In the foot of the mountain, there is the calligraphy of Tovo, of that poet. He came to Plum Village and he gave to us a Heart Sutra. The Heart Sutra hang on the foot of the mountain meditation hall. Maya meditation hall. He wrote many poems. The first poem he wrote about Buddhism, when he feel very inspired by reading my poetry book. When he wrote that poem and he was very excited, and he brought to a kind of a park in the city of Ho Chi Minh City in Saigon, and he read that poem. It is Yi Thiang Tử. It means dedicating to Thich Nhat Hanh, and is to making a bridge between the path and poetry. And it's very wrong for me, because the path is already poetry. Poetry is path. There is nothing. But he said that I give you this poem to make a bridge between the path and poetry. Now you monk, you have to practice to make poetry. If no, when you have a student, how you can make the yata of transmission to your student? I lean myself like on the dream is like the pillow, and then I wrap the spirit of poetry. And I sleep in the forest of autumn. It's very beautiful, but it's too quick. I cannot translate. It's very beautiful. Yeah, but he brought to the Ang Kwa Monastery to give Thai. And that friendship, he helped him to write many, many poems to support the path of reconciliation. There is a poem about the mother, Vietnamese mother. It's very beautiful. I love to chant that. I love the old mother. Oh, I have to translate later because it's so beautiful. The mother heart is divided in two. half of her heart go to the first son, half of her heart go to the second son. And they don't know, she don't know. She don't know which one is communist, which one is nationalist. The mother, half of her heart to the first son, half of her heart go to the second son. She didn't know who is communist, who is nationalist. The tear of love make a curtain. The tear of love make a curtain. She cannot distinguish between the red. The red is communist and the green is the love. Curtain of love is she only see the her evening is very purple, and the blood of her first son and the blood of the second son is as red as each other, and the blood of both are red, and she make her suffer. Both of them are her sons. The communists are her sons. The nationalists are her sons. And he also wrote another poem, The Dream. The dream is very small, a little hut, and some strip of sweet potatoes to eat. But 30 years, I cannot realize that dream. 30 years, that house have been destroyed by the war, moved to another place, make a hut, make some strip of vegetable to nourish the family, and the war arrived and destroyed and moved to another area. 30 years have passed. A farmer cannot realize their dream to have a hut and a little garden to feed their family. And so that poem is so powerful to lead the movement to. So many young monastic, how they can go to the communist way, how they can go to the nationalist way to fight and to kill other side. Yeah. And so I am forced to stay in the place in order to lead the way for the young people to go. And so the peace movement start from that day. Later on, there is many others participated. And then Rindak Chung and then Shukhu Chang Khong also participate. And during that time, the book, The Lotus in the Sea of Fire, and have been built undergroundly in Vietnam and lead people to escape from both ways. And Chang Khong tried to print a lot and brought to Hue University and put her in jail and then brought her to Saigon, because jail in Hue is central Vietnam, about 1,000. I don't know if she report in her book, but the truth is she have been arrested by number of underground press against peace, against war, for peace. And your big brother, Nhat Thi, monastic big brother, also served the former and kidnapped, disappeared. And many young people have been killed. Because murder, and they have been murdered by this side and other side. Other side believe that we follow the opposite side, and both sides suspect us, but we only have love and understanding. And when we are murdered, we always try that you misperceive us, but one day you will understand and you will support us. They never use the word hate in order to fight. So during that time, I also set up the School of Youth for Social Service. It's not a theory, but a really arms. Thousands of arms go to the countryside and help people. And Nhat Chi Mai is one student of me in the Order of Interbeing. She immolated herself for peace. And we have many wonderful brothers and sisters who are very very wonderful, who lead the path of reconciliation, of embracing each other, and no discrimination, no hatred. And during that time, there are many elders, monk in Ang Quang Monastery invite me to go and teach, and I build up the first monastic sangha according to my vision of reconciliation. And Sabha Phuhai, she coming next week. She was one of my first students in that path. And Hòa Thượng Minh Cảnh is also, he is coming, is one of member of this movement, student of me. And then at that moment, we have a lot of brotherhood, sisterhood. This year, we invite quite a lot, but not enough. Because the question, do you have any dream before you die? And Thay said, I have no dream. This dream have been done already. I have a good monastic sangha. I have a good lay sangha, many lay sangha around the world who try to work in that direction. Is already, I'm already happy. When I see a monk walking mindfully, happily, relaxingly, is my dream realized? When I see a lay person but walk mindfully, happily, relaxingly, is my dream is realized? When I see a number of brothers sitting together and discussing how to help people, a group of sisters deal with how to help people. Is my dream realized? I have don't have to any dream. Every day is for eating mindfully, happily, relaxingly. I don't need to search for, to grasp anything. And if we are not happy, is you have all the opportunity to be happy. You have the sangha. You have the practice, you have the methods to do it. You don't need to believe. You don't need to believe blindly. You try, it works. That is your way. You try, eating meditation is work. You enjoy. It's the way. That your faith. Nobody can remove that faith in you. Because that faith is from your practice, and you really touch what you want to practice, and then your faith, your belief is not from other person, not from the Buddha even, because you practice, you taste, you are happy. You don't need to believe on anyone. So don't forget the two sentences. Arriving to that deep cave of immortals, you are determined to change with the holistic medicine. You can change the bones in order to be able to go home. But we don't need to go home. We stay where you are and stay. We are happy. We go, we are happy. Wherever we go, we are happy. And you become immortal. At 11 o'clock, when you hear the sound of the bell, I invite you all to come back here in order to practice the Parivana in order to end our winter retreat. Hoping that next year we will still have another winter retreat. When you hear the sound of the bell, you stand up. We bow. And I asked the monastic to stay. The monastic remained. And I will prepare the lay people, and you can go out for a cup of tea. And when you hear the bell, you come back. But the monastic, you remain in order to have some recommendation. And the parivana is to enjoy the success 3 month retreat of practice. If there are the Dhamma teacher, if you are Dhamma teacher, but lay, you are lay people, but if you are Dhamma teacher, you can remain.